In our 9:30 hour, we are pursuing a series on the I Am statements of the Lord. And I sent out on Friday morning what I'd planned to preach today, that in this hour we'd be looking at our next I Am statement. Then I got busy doing more study on the 11 o'clock hour, and I realized I had way too much material for that one sermon. So we're going to divide it up. We'll get started with our study on the root of bitterness in this 9:30 hour, and then in our 11 o'clock hour, we will wrap up the study. So Lord willing, next week we will resume our study of the I Am statements, but we'll see what next week brings. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15 is the passage that we're using in today's study on the root of bitterness, and we'll look at it a number of times today, but let's read it. The writer says, "Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled." The Bible warns against sinful attitudes that can hide in our heart and slowly work their damage on us, taking us farther and farther away from God. One of these attitudes is the sin of bitterness. Let's start by defining this term, make sure we understand exactly what we're talking about. I want to start with the English word. You look up the word bitter in an English dictionary, you're going to see that it has reference to a number of things. First, regarding taste, and the definition there would be designating or having a sharp, often unpleasant taste. But then the word goes on to describe an attitude that someone experiences or someone expresses, causing or showing sorrow, discomfort, or pain, even grievous pain. And then characterized by strong feelings of hatred, resentment, and cynicism. So that's what we're talking about today when we talk about bitterness, when we talk about the root of bitterness, the cause, the danger, and how to overcome bitterness. We're talking about strong feelings of hatred, resentment, cynicism, discomfort, sorrow, anguish. We'll keep defining the word as we go with our study today. In the Old Testament, the word bitter is translated from the Hebrew word mara, which means bitterly, angry, chafed, discontented, and heavy. That's a new word as we're looking at the definition here. The idea of heavy, it's a weight that we carry. That's included in this idea of bitterness. Now here's the thing about this Hebrew word. There are at least two places in our Bible where that exact Hebrew word is carried over to us into the English language. The first is here in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 23. This is after the children of Israel have escaped Egypt. They've gone through the Red Sea, and they've even sung the song of Moses there earlier in Exodus 15. They come to Marah. They could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. They called the name of the place bitter because the water there was bitter. And of course, just guess what the children of Israel did. They complained about that. The second time this Hebrew word shows up to us in our English text is in the book of Ruth. When Naomi comes home, remember Naomi has left her home with her husband and her two sons. Whether Naomi was involved in this decision or not, we're not told, but she's taken away from her home. She's in a foreign land. Her sons marry. Then her husband dies. Her two sons die. She decides to go back home. She hears the famine is over. When she gets there, the women are excited, and they say, "It's Naomi." And the first thing she does, she says to them, "Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me." And we'll talk a little bit more about what Naomi's going through here, but She says, call me bitter, because that's what the Lord has done to me. So here are a couple of places where that Hebrew word shows up in our English text, Mara. In the New Testament, the different forms of the word for bitter come from a family of words. We have pikriano, which is the verb to embitter, pikros, which is the adjective, something is bitter, and pikria is the noun, that is bitterness. The late Don Bassett, a gospel preacher, I remember there was a time in which this predated the internet, this predated getting CDs. I had cassette tapes sent to me of his sermons. And I know at least on two occasions I remember him making mention of this family of Greek words. He said that prefix for bitter, pikria, reminded him of a sour pickle. And so that's why we have the sour pickles here. So there's that whole family of words in the Greek that we translate as bitter, pikria. And I'm not a fan of pickles at all, but I just imagine biting into a bitter or a sour pickle. No thank you. But if you need a memory device and you're in the early stages of Greek, then pickle might be a way for you to remember that idea of bitterness. Let me read something to you from the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, a reference book about bitterness and how it is used in the Bible as a whole. It will be noted that the word is employed with three principal spheres of application: the physical sense of taste, which we've already talked about, and in Exodus chapter 15, that's what was discussed there. That water tasted bitter. But more than that, a figurative meaning in the objective sense of cruel, biting words, intense misery resulting from forsaking God, a life of sin and impurity, a life of servitude or bereavement. And number three, more subjectively, bitter and bitterness describe emotions of sympathy, the sorrow of childlessness. We'll look at that in some detail today. Penitence or sorrow, we'll see that as well. Disappointment, we'll talk about that as well. And feeling misery and wretchedness. So when we're talking about bitterness, we're not talking about a major subject of the Bible, but we're talking about something that's found throughout the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, on two occasions, the Bible speaks specifically of a root of bitterness, and that's important. That's what I've titled these studies today, The Root of Bitterness. Well, I want to talk for just a moment about the significance of a root of bitterness. The first one's in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 18, where here Moses is speaking to the second generation, that is the generation behind the Exodus generation. That first generation's died out, the 40 years, they're not going into the promised land. These brethren are, but there's some warnings that are given in Deuteronomy. Here's one: that there may not be among you a root bearing bitterness or wormwood. So here is the first reference in the Bible to this root of bitterness. And then the second one is in the text that we started looking at in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. The imagery here of a root of bitterness tells us that there's something dangerous about this sinful attitude that requires more than just a surface treatment. As we're talking about bitterness in our heart and bitterness in our lives, we shouldn't approach this sin with the idea of, well, when I notice it, then I can repent of it and I'll just get rid of it there on the surface. No, it doesn't live on the surface. That's where it springs up. That's where it shows up. Where it actually lives is down below the surface. It lives, it has a root system in our hearts. It requires us to go underground And to eliminate it there at that place. Remember the text here. Notice the text here, Hebrews 12, verse 15. A root of bitterness springing up. And we'll talk about that as well. So yeah, it springs up. It shows up here or there, manifests itself in different harmful ways, destructive ways. But just cutting it off there, you're not taking care of the problem. We're going to have to dig. When we talk about the root of bitterness, getting rid of that's going to require some work on our part. It's a lot of work getting rid of a plant by the roots. Last year, the bugs killed the bushes in front of our house. I think several people had to deal with that last year. Well, I got out the old trusty chainsaw, took care of them. No, I didn't. Guess what we've got in our flower bed in front of the house? We've got a bunch of little knobs sticking up with a bunch of roots down below. And I know good and well, it's going to take a lot of work to get those out of there. And that's the same thing that's true regarding bitterness. If we've allowed bitterness to grow a root in our heart and in our lives, it's going to take some time. It's going to take some effort to weed that out and to get that out. We're going to have to go deep within our hearts. We're going to have to untangle some messy things in order to get this sin out of our hearts and our lives. Let's spend the rest of our time this hour looking at some of the causes of bitterness. The Bible tells us that there are different things that cause this sinful poison to appear in our lives and to take root in our hearts. The first is suffering. The endurance of suffering, especially innocent suffering, can cause us to become bitter. Let me say that again. The endurance of suffering, especially when we are suffering innocently, we haven't done anything wrong, but still we're suffering, it can cause us to become bitter. In the book of Exodus, chapter 1 and at verse 14, we read that Pharaoh made the lives of the Israelites bitter in Egypt. Remember, there arose a Pharaoh that didn't know Joseph, didn't know the Lord. The Israelites were growing, and so threatened by them, this Pharaoh enslaved them. Exodus chapter 1 and at verse 14, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage. Job, and we could spend a lot of time talking about Job. We'll talk about him a little bit today. Job, of course, we know what's going on with Job because we have the benefit of reading chapters 1 and 2. Job didn't get to read that. Job didn't know what was going on behind the scenes. He just knew he was suffering terribly, and he didn't know why. He couldn't put his finger on it. Well, his friends knew, you're a terrible sinner. And so they go through the book trying to convince him, you need to repent of your sin. And Job is holding his integrity as he goes through. But there's a statement that is made early on, Job 7 and verse 11. Job said, I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. This suffering, not only from the loss of everything and the loss of his health, but then the friends on top of it, made him bitter. And he's complaining from his bitterness. A foolish child can be a source of bitterness to his parents. In Proverbs 17 and verse 25. Proverbs 17 and at verse 25, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. Now it may be that the parents were lousy parents, and the child is going astray, and the parents can blame themselves. It may be that the parents brought them up in the way that they should go. And still, as free moral agents, the child, the children, decide to go astray. That can make one bitter. That can make one bitter. And think about Peter. He told the Lord, I'll die for you. There's no way I'm going to deny you. And then later that night, just as the Lord said, the rooster crowed, and Peter realized he had, in fact, denied the Lord three times. Luke says that the Lord looked at him. Matthew 26, verse 75 says that Peter went out and wept bitterly. He was suffering. That suffering came upon him suddenly. He was weeping because of that. Suffering poses many unfair challenges, including the temptation to become bitter. What you and I need to do as we are growing and we are maturing as Christians, we need to be of the frame of mind, the presence of mind, to realize that when we are suffering, this temptation is there. And we need to learn to recognize it and resist it when it shows up in our heart. Suffering can cause bitterness. Here's something else that can cause us to become bitter, and that is when we feel that we have been cheated or we have been defrauded. What is it that little ones say? That's not fair. It seems as if we're born with a sense of fairness. And we can tell when someone's not being treated fair. We can really tell when we haven't been treated fairly. And when that happens to us, when we feel like we've been cheated, when we feel like we've been defrauded, when we feel like we've been deprived of something that we believe that we should have, or when we see someone else receiving what we believe we should have been receiving, that can cause us to become bitter. This impacts both those who are guilty, that is, they aren't getting that because of their own fault, but it also impacts those who are innocent in this matter. Two examples, one of each. The first one, the guilty individual, would be Esau. Esau is actually mentioned specifically here in Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 15 says, "Lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright." We remember, most of us remember this account. He's the firstborn. He has the right to the blessing, the privilege of the firstborn. But his little brother, the supplanter, the one who had a hold of his ankle as they were being born, he's finding a way to wrestle that away from him. And this is the will of God, but there are some ugly things that are happening to bring this about, and it results in bitterness in part. Remember, Esau comes in from the field and he is just starving to death. That's the way we would hear it today, right? And Jacob is cooking a red stew. And he says, "Give me some of that red stew." And Jacob says, "No, you sell me your birthright. You give me your birthright." So a profane person like Esau, he thought so little of what God promised to bless him with that he gave it up for a bowl of red stew. And then later on, he wanted to get that birthright. And when he found out that he couldn't, when he found out that his father had already given it to his brother, Genesis chapter 27 and verse 34, "When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, 'Bless me also, O my father.'" So here's this bitterness. He's been defrauded. He's had something that belonged to him taken and given to somebody else. It's his own fault. But still, he feels bitterness over that. Same thing can happen to us. But it also happens to those who are innocent in the matter. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1, we read of Hannah. Hannah is a blessed mother of Israel who suffered terribly for a while through no fault of her own. 1 Samuel chapter 1, we are introduced to Elkanah. Elkanah has two wives. He has Hannah and he has the other wife, Peninnah. Let's start reading verse 4. "And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat." Well, we're going to see down in verse 10 that Hannah, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Some things I want to point out here. We were defining the word bitter. Well, there are some words here in this passage that help us to understand perhaps a little better of what bitterness is. Notice she's weeping in anguish, verse 10 says. Verse 6 says that she's made miserable. So these ideas are there with bitterness. It's to be miserable. It's to be in anguish. She's weeping in bitterness of soul. Why? Because of her rival. Because of Elkanah's other wife. I'll pause right here, and I've made this observation before. I'll make it again because this is becoming more and more popular in our culture today, the idea of plural marriage or polygamy. And some will say, it's in the Bible. You've got people like David who had multiple wives, then it must be okay. You show me one example of plural marriage in the Bible that's given in a positive light. I want to see one. Just show me one. This isn't it. This is dysfunction at its finest. Here, the husband is to blame for part of this because he's showing one wife that he loves the other wife more. And so that's causing her to be bitter, and she's taking it out on Hannah. And another thing that Hannah is suffering from through no fault of her own is she's barren. She can't have children. So she's cheated, she's defrauded in a way, but through no fault of her own. It doesn't matter whether it's Esau or it's Hannah, bitterness is bitterness. And it's a challenge that we have to deal with. And third, mishandling our anger can be a source of bitterness. Bitterness is sometimes described as anger gone to seed or anger pointed inward, thus that root of bitterness. It goes down, it digs down, and it grows a root there. Or it is unresolved anger. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27, be angry. We can be angry. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. That warns us that when we do have anger, we've got to deal with it correctly. We have to handle it. Unresolved anger goes to seed, and it becomes bitterness. That root system grows, and it causes all kinds of problems in our lives as it springs up here and there and everywhere. Simon the sorcerer is an example of this. In Acts chapter 8, the gospel through the evangelist Philip goes to the area of Samaria. The Samaritans hear the gospel. They believe when they hear and they see the miracles that are done. Even Simon, who was the quote-unquote religious leader of that area, he was a charlatan. He was a fake, but he had convinced people that he was the great power of God. He sees the genuine miracles that are being done, and he believes, and he turns to the Lord, and he, like the rest of the Samaritans, Simon himself also believed and was baptized. Now, verse 14, the apostles hear that the Gospels had a good reception in Samaria, so they send two of their own. They send Peter and John down there to lay their hands on them so they can receive the Holy Spirit. In verse 18, and when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you, because you thought the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you, for I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. He's poisoned by bitterness. King James Version says he's in the gall of bitterness. Where did this bitterness come from? Well, you look in verse 21. He wants to buy this gift he sees the apostles exercising, and he's told in a very negative way, this isn't for you. You have neither part nor portion in this matter. Now, he's a Christian. He has salvation. He has everything that goes with it, but this one thing he's wanting is off limits to him. He's not allowed to have this. And so there is that danger of anger towards God. Anger towards God. Why can't I have this? Well, Simon, you're in the gall of bitterness. You're poisoned by bitterness. There's the danger there. Where did it come from? It came from unresolved anger. A thought came to my mind in looking at this. We're spending a lot of time talking about prayer in our Sunday morning adult class. I'm getting to set in on some of those classes. I know when we bring up the discussion about God answering our prayer, I know we've got the response to that program. We're ready. God will answer our prayers in different ways. Sometimes He'll say yes. He'll grant the request. Sometimes He'll say, well, you need to wait later. Sometimes He'll say, no, I've got something different in mind. But what's another answer He gives? Sometimes God just says no. God tells us no. Now we acknowledge that in our study. We say that that's an answer we get. But how much time do we spend talking about how we handle that kind of an answer? What do we do when we realize that God has told us no? If we're not careful, we'll become bitter. We'll become bitter against God, because He's told us no. So we need to be aware of that. We need to realize that that's a danger, that can happen. Where does bitterness come from? What causes bitterness? Suffering can cause bitterness, especially if we're suffering innocently. Seeing others get what we want that we're deprived of, feeling like we're cheated, things aren't fair, that can cause bitterness. And not taking care of our anger. Nothing wrong with being angry, but how are we handling that anger? If we've mishandled it, it goes downward, it digs down, and it takes root. These are some things the Bible says cause bitterness. So let's learn from this, let's arm ourselves with this, and let's be ready to meet this temptation of bitterness head on. Now, there's more we're going to cover in our 11 o'clock hour. I want to talk about the danger of bitterness, why this is worth us talking about, why it's worth the Bible warning us about. And then, of course, we're going to talk about overcoming that bitterness. If you remember our study we did on overcoming sin, you see a pattern here. Well, I wrote it, so that's the pattern that I'm stuck in. So that's the pattern that we're following here. So that's what we'll look at in our 11 o'clock hour. Right now, let's have a word of prayer, and then we will dismiss